The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Executive Director Ray Andrewson. Every other week, we talk to some of our area business members of the Chamber, find out what they're doing, small businesses, medium and large, and we bring detailed information about these businesses directly to you. We're winding down the year, but of course, if you're listening to this during 2024 and beyond, 12 months of the year, you can stay in great shape. You can also treat your body very well. If you go in and get your car tuned up or change the oil, think of it as taking good care of your body as well. And you only have some detailed mileage that goes into your body. Same thing, obviously, with your car. So let's talk about keeping yourself fit, keeping yourself well, eating well, using the right exercises for people of all ages. Enova Nutritious Fitness Center is right here in North Haven. Joining us to talk about Enova, some of the programs they provide for you, customized for you, Jake Payer, who's with us. It's always good to see you here on our podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So, Jake, I want to talk about overall, before we start talking about Enova and some of the detail programs you offer, the personal customized training. Let's just talk about overall wellness in general. We're seeing that people are certainly overweight, a little bit of out of shape. We hear about type 2 diabetes. We know that we're fairly sedentary thanks to all of our use of mobile devices and laptops and computers, desktops, and that we're not necessarily a bicycle or walking culture. We're a car culture. So given all the push, all the available food out there, it's very difficult to stay in shape with all these forces. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually feel guilty. I'm sitting in front of a computer after you saying it. But it seems like the world's pitched against us in that sense. It's unfortunate. And actually, if you look at the statistics, it gives merit to that statement. About 78% of Americans, adult Americans, are overweight, according to the BMI classification, which they fall in. Currently, I believe it's about 42% of us are obesity or in the class of obesity or greater. So that means they're significantly overweight to the point in which their risk of overall mortality is substantially increased. So it's a growing problem. The World Health Organization in 2016, I believe, and it hasn't been updated since, released a statement saying that no single country has been successful in attenuating the rate of weight gain, the climb in weight gain. So it's not just an American problem, it's a world problem, and it grows every year, literally. So that's a big kind of push for us in our industry, is just to, you know, do anything we can to help combat this growing problem.
I'm glad that you pointed that out, the world as well, because it's not just an American problem. You see it existing in Latin America, and now even places that historically have not had the problem, like the Asian Rim countries, will usually have a plant-based diet. They're also experiencing challenges with weight as well. So yeah. Let's talk about a person who's listening here and is concerned at this point, but maybe on the fence about motivation, about taking the next step. And say they're maybe 10 or 20 pounds overweight, or maybe they're having issues with sleep deprivation or stress, but they're not pushed to the point where they're going to be knocking on your door immediately. Let's talk to those people and let's encourage them to think about maybe transforming their lives through exercise and good nutrition.
Yeah, no, that's great. You'll never regret it. That's for one thing. Generally, what we see is a lot of people are who come through our doors specifically have been thinking about it for a while. It's never just kind of a spontaneous thing. Although in that moment, they might feel a level of spontaneity. They've been thinking about it for like 6, 7, 8 months. before they're motivated enough to actually step through the door. So that's a really common, I guess, state for the average American to be in. But I think a lot of the animosity or the ambivalence to their own change is more so like the perceived exertion or like effort it would take for them to actually facilitate the change they'd really be interested in, right? So to decrease their body fat mass, they probably need to move a little bit more, maybe substantially more. They have to monitor their diet and really understand really the principles that actually matter in the context of improving their body composition. And there might be some lapse in understanding initially from really where they're at, and educating themselves upon that to get them to a place in which they can actually execute a program or a plan to actually change that. I mean, that could be pretty daunting for a lot of people. But when they get the gears kind of rolling, or the wheels turning, and they actually start going through the actions of, you know, moving more, installing these things into their life, these principles, maybe paying more attention to their diet, and just getting some level of progress, it's incredibly motivating initially. And on top of that, it's never as difficult as they perceive, right? We'll hear that time and time again. A lot of people have this concept that it's going to be, you know, this brutal engagement. They're going to have to run so much, and they're going to have to work out way more than they feel they're capable of even doing. Honestly, start small, start slow. You'll be rewarded at the end of every single workout just through endorphins. You'll feel better about yourself. It's always harder than you think it's going to be, is what I'd say to those people.
So a couple of years ago, or decades really, we did go through that era of no pain, no gain. And the theory was that you really had to go into the weight room and push. Yeah. You really had to do cardio till you almost felt like you had to drop.
Yeah.
We've certainly gotten away from that, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. That's it's interesting because, and again, this is kind of going into like our company of Nova. Oh, we really pride ourselves in using a much more modern approach. When the research changes and starts to clue in that there's a better way to do things, we adopt those as kind of like as a first line, in a sense. Like, we really want to be on the cutting edge, and we make an effort to create these systems that are based on that research. So what we do see is, you could really overdo it initially, honestly. And you could it's really balancing your stress or how much you're working and then how much you're recovering. This is a pretty interesting fact. As you condition from exercise and your body starts to change, your body can then tolerate more stress, in the sense of when you exercise, you're causing structural damage, and it takes your body a certain amount of time to actually regenerate or recover from that workout. We technically term that as nitrogen balance, but it's interesting. What we see is a conditioned athlete might have a recovery window as low as 48 hours, meaning if they just obliterated their lower body, right? In 2 days, they're recovered enough to get a benefit from training that segment of their body again. Whereas in a deconditioned athlete, or like somebody just who's out of shape, right, doesn't really work out, that same exercise stimulus can take upwards of 11 days to recover from. So that's almost 2 weeks, right? That's insane. So understanding that science and like modulating and kind of adjusting your training stimulus and allowing your body adequate time to recovery, not only will make it more bearable for you, but also is likely to be more beneficial than if you were to just kill yourself every day. So again, you don't want to kind of, we've really pushed away from that idea of, you know, just it's all about no pain, no gain, just as hard as you can push yourself, and then just vet out that mental weakness. It's really not about that at all. Like, we know much more about the body now.
It is mind body. So let's talk about the mind as well, because there may be some impediments. We always hear about people who start January 1st, the classic resolution. They're at the gym. They're there for January. Well, they skip a workout or two, or maybe a regular part of their routine in February. By March, they'll come back, and then it gets warm, and then they drift away and fall back. So you always have this start-stop mechanism where you're beginning something with some good intent, falling away. How do you keep your clients engaged so that they don't fall away?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, for one thing, like just looking at the big picture, right? So like what we like to do from a just general setup standpoint is make sure that they're prepared with a plan not just in dietetics, so like what they're eating and how much they're eating, but also how much they're exercising, but also more so the time management. So a big part of the, you know, dietetic coaching we offer here, not only is it based on like some really interesting biochemistry, but there's a whole psychological component behind it where we look into specific time management strategies that we like to get ahead of. And we like to audit that on a weekly basis. So having that back and forth connection and just like interaction really creates a sense of accountability. A lot of people will find initially external motivation could kind of get them going or get them building these consistent habits. Once those are developed and they start seeing real-time success, like that's when those people are really likely to see, you know, the change they're after. But just having some type of accountability system, somebody to check in with, I mean, that's make or break for a lot of people when they're getting started. I kind of want to add one more thing to that. There's some really interesting research in dietetics with success rates in different dietary strategies relative to how many calories people consume on different diets, right? So what we find in the sense of, you know, is a rapid weight loss effort versus like a slower gradual turnover of weight loss, like what's more effective, right? What we actually find is not what you would imagine. So we see that people who lose weight rapidly on the initiation of their diet are more likely to succeed in the long run than people who diet at a slower rate and see a slower rate of weight loss. It seems like that first, second, and third week, it's imperative they're seeing success. They're getting feedback. And when they do, it's intrinsically motivating, right? If they put in a perceived level of effort, no matter how much they're actually trying, but they're not seeing the effect of that effort they're perceiving, then generally, those are the type of people who start to see follow-up. So that's a huge problem with those, you know, people who annually seek to lose weight around January, where the ones that actually stick it out are people who see success in the first, second, and third week.
Yeah. And also starting perhaps in a time frame or a period of the year that makes sense. You know, January, it's still dark. You know, we sort of put on the extra pound. We've already added a little bit of weight perhaps over Thanksgiving and the holiday season. So January may not be optimum. So resolution may be your better and best suited starting slowly at that point and then really kicking it up in March and April, you know, when it gets warm and you can be outside a little bit more. I want to talk about nutrition, Zach, if we can, because we're learning so much more now about, you know, dieting and proper dieting and treating yourself. It's good to read labels when you're in the store. Processed foods carry a lot of extra stuff. And it's not just entirely about calories, but it's kind of comprehensive. So let's walk through when you sit down with somebody who maybe not the best eater or having odd eating habits. Personal anecdote, for example, I'm never hungry when I wake up. I just never have, but I've been hearing all through my life, 3 squares a day, breakfast, most important meal, got to have breakfast. Sometimes it's a little carb heavy and protein heavy, you know, to start the day. But I'm trying to listen to my body and I lost weight and got more fit by just listening to when my body is saying eat now, which meant snack at 10, lunch at noon. What do you feel about things like that? Because everybody's different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is so interesting. I could literally write a book on this kind of stuff. There's so many studies about that. In a sense, back in the 90s and probably before that, we had this idea that you should eat little and often, right? I don't know if you ever heard that term, but it's like the idea of stoking the metabolic fire. Every time you eat, this is pretty interesting, you get a upregulation of your metabolic expenditure. Your body just starts burning more calories at rest. It's called the thermic effect of feeding. And it's associated with about, or it's attributing to about 10% of the total amount of calories we burn in a day. We used to think that, you know, hey, if you ate constantly throughout the day, you could really use that to your advantage and burn more calories. There's been stratified studies when we consume the same amount of calories throughout the course of the day in an OMAD structure, which is one meal a day. You have like all of your calories in a single meal. And then we do the same amount of calories the next day, stratified in 6 meals, right? We don't see a difference in the effect, the thermic effect of feeding, right? You get the same magnitude of effect. So what we like to say in the sense of dietary adherence is we got to make it realistic for you. And that's a huge psychological component. What we need to do is start creating order from disorder. So if you like to eat, you know, 3 times a day and that just works for your schedule and that's been really ironed out, then go for it. There's some pretty interesting studies in the sense of, does, by the way, let me backtrack a little bit. Does skipping breakfast and going through like an intermittent fasting protocol or like eating breakfast, does that really matter, the timing of that? It doesn't really seem to, which is pretty interesting. The only caveat to that, again, is people's dietary adherence. So whatever we can do to make you adhere to principles that will actually make you lose weight, that should be your strategy, right? No matter how many, if you're eating 7 times a day or twice or even once, like the most important thing is just dietary adherence. If we're concerned with weight loss, I mean, there's certain situations in which it's advantageous to consume more meals in a day. For example, if you're interested in muscular hypertrophy, like you want to build lean body mass, because there's some technical considerations we want to adopt in the context of protein and protein timing, which are pretty complex, but those are important considerations. But if you're just looking for weight reduction, again, the biggest two principles here would actually be thermodynamics. So energy balance, you got to make sure you're constantly burning more calories than you're consuming. And the second thing would be managing your protein intake to have an adequate amount to offset your risk of muscle wasting. There's some technical rationale behind that. When you cut your calories lower, we see your body likes to mobilize all sorts of different body mass, like body tissue, to come up with energy availability. So it's not going to break down exclusively fat. You'll actually increase your rate of muscle loss. Protein helps attenuate that. So increasing your protein is really important when you're actually in a deficit, a calorie, like a diet, right? Which makes those the two most important considerations. Everything else is more about what you can do to actually adhere to those principles.
Yeah. Well, as someone once described to me about dieting and eating and everything and being precise with your weight and everything else about your waist size, so on and so forth, you're probably a kind of person who likes to go out and cut the grass with a ruler and a scissors. You can't achieve perfection. It's generalized perfection, as they call it. In other words, getting better, feeling well. Think of it in the broad brushstroke, but not in terms of exactly all the diet, you know, the carb counting and all the numbers that you're putting out. Don't take the pleasure out of eating, because it is a pleasurable activity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people struggle with that. Just make sensible decisions and kind of organize your life to just adhere to principles that will make you successful in the long. Yeah, definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah. So in the minute or two that we have left, let's talk about our first visit. So you're over on Massimo Drive, right off Sacred Point Road, North Haven. I'm showing up. I have an appointment with you. I am coming to you to find out what my goals are. You're going to interview me and find out what I want to achieve. How's the first interview session, first engagement going to be?
Great. Yeah, we like to do a body bioelectrical impedance analysis, which is basically we analyze your body composition on a in-body machine. We have a pretty high end kind of body compositional analysis machine that really looks at not just how much body fat mass you have, but where it's distributed. That gives us insight as to like what the potential culprit of it was in the first place. We look at the segmented skeletal muscle mass you have within your own body. We see if you have like asymmetries on your upper or lower body or between sides. Those are important considerations for risk factors. And then we just kind of go through a goal assessment. What are you in here for? And really, like, what motivated you to do it? We try to get some personality typing out of that. And then we create a structure in the context of your diet and exercise program that are complementary to not only your goals, but your limitations. So if you have, you know, ankle, knee, and hip injuries, we can go through corrective strategy to actually improve those potentially while, I guess, developing your body as a whole.
Yeah. So it's a lot to consider. It's a great opportunity for you to work with professionals who are kind and competent at the same time. That's not always something that some folks claim that they've experienced when they're working with a personal trainer. They understand you. I think you try to get to know your clients on a little bit of a personal level because you want to make sure that they're happy in this whole experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Honestly, it just becomes a pretty tight-knit group the longer you spend time with anyone, but definitely with some long timers. It's yeah.
Well, your team always seems to be smiling, so that's good news. So, yep. So Zach Pear is a trainer, lead trainer over there, and that is at Enova Nutrition. The website, which you can sort of navigate and find out a little bit about, is Enova Fit, E-N-O-V-A Fit. InnovaFit.com. I gather you on a regular basis, you can just call or, you know, show up or whatever to maybe arrange for initial consultation. Then you can take it from there, right?
Yeah, we take email, call. We even get like direct messages on our Instagram, which is InnovaFit.
Nice.
Yeah, anything that works.
Absolutely. Zach Payer, thank you so much. Innova Nutrition Fitness Center in North Haven. Thanks for being on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quincham.com. That's randrewson@quincham.com.